24, 9 headless men. On down the river, it was no fun now. Hal could think only of reaching Manao, getting his collection on board a steamer, and sailing home. The jungle had become a place of death and terror. He had a sinking feeling that there was more trouble ahead. To make matters worse, Roger had come down with fever. He had been too careless about taking his daily dose of malaria-preventing atibrin and keeping his mosquito net closely drawn around his hammock at night. He lay in the toldo of the Monteria with the boa constrictor and a few other animals to keep him company. Hal had begun to hope that they were rid of Croc, but one day he heard war drums beating, and as his feet rounded a point, he saw an Indian village on fire. That looked like Croc's work. He felt sure of it when he saw Croc's boat drawn up on the beach. Hal did not feel able to interfere. With Roger sick and Aqua gone, he could not fight Croc's gang. He hoped only that he could get by without being seen. Some 5 miles further downstream, pulled in for the night to a sheltered landing place behind a point. As the men made camp, they stopped every few moments to listen. The drums of the burned village could still be heard. The rhythm was taken up by other drums behind the camp and downstream, and then in unseen villages on the other side of the river. The whole forest seemed to throb with the threat of the drums. Hal's men were very nervous. They huddled together and whispered. Banquo seemed to be stirring them up. Hal walked over to the group. "What's the matter, Banquo?"
"The drums, senor. The men are afraid of the drums."
"Why are they afraid?"
"Indians would not hurt Indians."
"They are not of the same tribe. The Indians in this forest are very savage. They hate the white man. Perhaps white men have attacked him today. They seek revenge. If they find you, they will kill you, and all who serve you."
Hal laughed. "I don't think it's as bad as you make out, Banquo."
Many times on the trip, he had noticed that Banquo's liver was pretty white. The men had gone out in the cape and were jabbering excitedly and pointing upstream. Hal joined them. Against a red sunset, the smoke of the destroyed village rose into the sky. But it was not this that attracted the attention of the men. A boat was coming downstream. Hal could count 9 men in it, but not one of them was paddling. In fact, they did not move at all. They might as well have been sacks of meal. No sound of conversation came across the water. A chill began to creep through Hal's veins. He noticed that a strange terror had gripped his own men. He studied the men in the boat. They were much closer now. Still, they did not move. Hal strained his eyes in the failing light. He could see no heads on the men. Of course, he would see them in a moment. Every man had to have a head. The current carried the boat within 50 feet of the point. Banquo screamed like a woman. Hal had to believe it now. 9 headless men sat in the boat. Their size and their blood-stained shirts made it plain that they were not Indians. They must be Croc's cutthroats. Their own throats were now cut by the vengeful Indians whose goods they had tried to steal, whose village they had fired. Then the Indians had arranged this gruesome exhibit and sent it downstream as a warning to all and sundry. Along with his horror, Hal felt a vague sense of relief. This one must mean that he no longer needed to fear Croc. As for the Indians, he had never yet found any reason to fear them if they were treated fairly. He went back to the campsite and strung up his hammock and Roger's. There was no campfire that night. The men usually slept on shore, but tonight they preferred to lie in the Monteria. To make more room for themselves, they transferred what few animals it contained to the Ark. Roger was always dead to the world when asleep, and Hal, thoroughly tired, slept soundly in spite of the drums. Once, half awake, he thought there was a slight commotion on the Monteria. Then he slept again.